In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thou hast enjoined thy commandments that we should keep them most diligently. That is the fourth verse of Psalm 118. What are the commandments? They are the way of life, the only way of life. Each commandment the Lord has given, and no, there are not 10. There are many commandments. All of them are given with a purpose, sometimes only understood by God. Of course, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. And the second, like it, to love our neighbor as ourself. But there are many applications of this commandment. The 10, the ones that are in the Sermon on the Mount, the ones given to by the Lord throughout the Gospel, the ones in the Epistles. There's many other ones also in the Old Testament. They are not arbitrary. They're not external. They are internal because they reflect who God is. And the point of our life is to know God, to know Him. We must become like Him. And so this is why we must meditate upon and follow our Lord's commandments diligently. That is why He has given commandments. For no other reason, not because they are some necessary thing for us to do in order to fulfill some requirement. They are necessary because they are the way of life. Because the way of life is who He is. And so we follow the commandments, and we keep them diligently. And what does it mean to be diligent? To be diligent is to make a choice that something is important and worth working for. It's continual. It's enduring. Diligence does not mean competence. It means effort. God will be attracted to our effort. Grace always fills a man who makes effort. It might not happen immediately, but God will always fill the vessel that is struggling with diligence. Grace is always attracted by our effort. Saint Theophan the Recluse says that diligence is basically the same as zeal, which is the moving power in a man. So if we feel ourselves standing still, then our diligence must be flagging. You know, when you feel lazy that day, when you don't feel like doing much, when you don't feel like reading your prayers, got a little bit too late, when you just don't feel like making an effort, doesn't that feel a lot like sort of standing still? But diligence is not something that is still, and neither is the Spirit, right? The Spirit moves through us. The Spirit energizes us. And so, if we are not feeling energized, if we are not moving, then there must be something wrong with our diligence. Now, how does one obtain diligence? Well, of course, all good comes from God. But there are basically two kinds of diligence, if I can divide them in this way, kind of an arbitrary way. And maybe we can understand a little from that. One thing that must be necessary, one thing that must be present in us if we are to have diligence, is good values, good priorities, knowing what's important, and having a desire to follow it. This is the beginning of diligence. If we don't have that, then we're lost from the beginning. We must know what's right and wrong and desire to follow what's right and not follow what's wrong. So there must be an understanding of what is right and wrong. This is very important. In our day, there's a lot of confusion about it. It's very hard to people be diligent following the commandments of God when they believe something that is false and not according to God's commandments. This is happening all the time in our age. So the first step to have diligence is to have the right values and priorities. And that's why, I suppose, my favorite question that I ask everybody probably too many times, is what is the meaning of your life? What is your life's purpose? You need to know that. Because if you don't know that, and if it isn't important to you, you'll never be diligent in following God's commandments. And of course, the purpose of our life is to know God and know Him intimately. And so this must be at the base of our diligence. And it will be sort of like a spiritual inertia that keeps us going even through hard times. Because there will be hard times. There will be times where we get a little lazy. We get a little bit inattentive. But if we have at the base what is important in our life, then God will not abandon us and we will be carried through. Sort of like if an example of a car that goes fast down a hill and maybe then loses power coming back up. But if there's enough speed going down, it'll be able to make it up the next hill. So we must have this inner understanding of what's right and wrong in our heart. And I tell you, it's not obvious. It has to be learned. Some things are obvious. They're written on the heart. But there's a lot of things that we don't know because we don't investigate them. So we must, in the scriptures, the Psalms, the Gospels, the Epistles, all of the scripture, and the Holy Fathers, the services, these things will teach us things that we need to make corrections on. But if we do not have the right vision, there's no way that we can find our way. Because it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So, if we have this core of diligence, then how do we maintain it? What's the other part of diligence? Well, that's daily life. That's the ups and downs. That's the fact that things are not so pretty in actual practice. Sometimes we're lazy, mad, feeling having impurity in our hearts. It happens. So how do we restore it? Daily. It's our daily task to maintain diligence. This is really why I'm speaking to you about Psalm 118. I think it's an excellent psalm to contemplate every single day because it's all about maintaining diligence for following the commandments and understanding the commandments in their proper context. In our culture, we still do not understand commandments, and each one of us, to some extent, has a legalistic view of commandments. But if we understood that they're about life, really understood, we would follow them much more readily and, shall I say, diligently. So you must work on maintaining diligence. And there's the things that you can do. Of course, reading, fasting, prayer. When you fall off in your diligence, there must be things to maintain you. This is why I tell people about fasting. And it really grieves me when I hear or read people say something like, oh, well, you know, fasting is legalistic. We shouldn't be so legalistic about fasting. Fasting is necessary because of our nature. It maintains sort of a baseline, even when things are not going so well. Perhaps you can read the scripture daily, even when things are not going so well. Perhaps you're really good at saying your morning prayers every day. If that's what you can be good at, then you better do it, because you got to do what you can do. If you don't do the things you can do, then how can you maintain your diligence? It won't happen. It will just burn away and go away like smoke. So it's really critical to do things to maintain your diligence. I think fasting is one of the most important. I think coming to the services. How many times have I had it happen as a pastor that I've seen people come to confession after some period of time of not being in a church and not having communion, and they tell me how badly things went during that period? Of course they went badly. Now, even if you're not doing so well spiritually, you should be able to find your way into your car and turn it on and come to the church. That is important. Not for legalistic reasons, but because you are crying out to God, asking him to help you. Remember, diligence will be provided also by God when he sees our effort. So we have to give some diligence, and then God will help us, because grace is always attracted by effort. Now, we're about to come upon a fast. A good thing to do in the fast is start well. Start with diligence. Don't start by ignoring the fast from the beginning. It's very hard to right yourself. St. John of the Ladder has words to say about that. He says, to lag in the fight at the very outset of the struggles and thereby to furnish a token of our coming slaughter is a very hateful and dangerous thing. A firm beginning will certainly be useful for us when we later grow slack. A soul that is strong at first but then relaxes is spurred on by the memory of its former zeal. And in this way, new wings are often obtained. So we got to start as strong as we can. But that has to come from that first part that I told you about diligence. There has to be a conviction of what your life is about. And you have to continually remind yourself of it. I talk about it all the time, and I find myself forgetting it during the day. I'm sure I do, because when I do something that's not right, I come to my senses, I realize it was because I had a bad priority that moment. I forgot what was important. Shall I say I took my eyes off the prize? St. John talks about this when we take our eye off the prize. This is in this, I believe, the first step of the ladder. When the soul betrays itself and loses the blessed and longed for fervor, let it carefully investigate the reason for losing it, and let it arm itself with all its longing and zeal against whatever has caused it. For the firmer fervor can only return through the same door through which it was lost. And what is the door that it's that makes us lose zeal and fervor? It is sin. It is always sin that causes this. So may God help us to have this diligence, first by having the right priorities and shaping those priorities every day by reading of the scripture and prayer and the services. And second, that when we see that we have done something wrong, when we find ourselves a little lazy, a little bored, etc., that we beg God to help us. Now, because this psalm is something that I meditate upon every day, there's some very personal things that I think about when I read these verses. And I kind of, in a way, have semi-memorized the psalm. I can't say it from beginning to end, but every single verse is familiar. And when I envision talking about this psalm, I envision telling you some personal things, because I want you to learn to look at the scripture personally. So I'll tell you what this often makes me think of. I'm a priest. I should serve with care in everything I do, whether it's making the sign of the cross, hearing a confession, whatever it is. Entering the church. Sometimes I enter the church all in a rush, a little bit later than I should. Maybe I don't make three bows. Maybe I don't kiss the icons. Those kinds of things convict me. Because care in those things, which are small things, help us to be careful in big things. Now, we shouldn't think that if we don't come in church and do three prostrations or three bows or do exactly a certain thing, that it's all lost. We shouldn't have a legalistic view of it. There's no magic involved. But there should be a sense of gathering ourselves. I'll tell you how this should apply to every single person who comes in church. Unfortunately, this is not the case, as you well know. Perhaps sometimes from your own life, but certainly you can observe it. You have eyes. When the liturgy begins, is the church full? No. 10 minutes into the liturgy, still people are arriving. And sometimes 30 minutes after the liturgy, people might be arriving. We should be at the liturgy, be present 10 minutes at least before. Gather our thoughts, light a candle, venerate the icons, be prepared to meet God instead of coming later. It should be considered by us a tragedy to miss blessed is the kingdom. Shouldn't do it. And if we're diligent in doing it, we can do it. Because I guarantee you, very few of us are habitually late to work. You don't have any work if you're habitually late to it. But we find ourselves making excuses for being habitually late to church. So that is one application of thinking that, of becoming diligent. Become diligent in attendance at church and care when we enter the church. And I speak, of course, as far as attendance, I suppose I have a perfect record. But as far as diligence in prayer, there is much that I can improve upon. So perhaps this helps you. Let us beg the Lord to help us be diligent. But we can't just sit there and wait for it. It's not going to happen like that. There's no gift that the Lord is just going to give. There's no entitlement. We must sit and pray, and then we must act. And the Lord will help us. Thou hast enjoined thy commandments that we should keep them most diligently. May God bless you and help you in all things. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.